This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.
Hello and welcome to Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident with me, Dave Hill, the pride of Cleveland and beyond. Chris, add some echo after I say beyond. It sounds cool. Anyway, once I got offered free cold cuts in a truck stop men's room outside of Akron, for example. At least the guy said they were free, but at the same time, I feel like they came at a cost. Anyway, thank you so much for joining me once again for Dave Hill's Podcasting Incident. Now, and it's, I don't know how long this has been going on. This is episode, I don't even know that either. 112, 113? Anyone's guess, really. Probably says, like, on your computer or something, or on your phone, depending on how you're listening. Anyway, my point is, thank you. I'm sitting here with sweet Lucy, my hellhound sidekick. She's sleeping, farting, the huge. You know what? I can't remember. Dave Hill mentioned earlier. Did I announce that my new book, Parking the Moose, which is my new book about Canada that I've been writing like the wind, it's out October 8th, and you can now pre-order it wherever incredible books are sold. Go wherever, Amazon, go to your local bookstore, your independent bookstore, and be like, hey, I want this. I'll pay for this book now. I don't care. I want it when it comes out. Everyone pre-order it. Penguin Random House, the reputable publisher, they're publishing it October 8th. It's the longest book, not to brag, but it's the longest book I've ever written of the three by a lot. I'm not saying a longer book is better in my experience. That's not always the case. I'm just saying, I wrote like the wind for this one, and I encourage you to pick it up. It's all about my travels through Canada as I try to discover my incredible Canadian roots. The subtitle's similar to that, but I can't remember it right now. But Parking the Moose. The cover looks sweet. There's moose on it. Pretty psyched about it. Go pre-order it. I'd be so grateful. Speaking of grateful, I also ask, beg, and thank those of you who have done this already, but please rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. It really helps us get, more noticed. Do it on Stitcher, Spotify, wherever. But it helps, get it up the charts so people can see it and be like, ew, I want to check that out too. Or maybe they run from it like it's the plague. It might be. And I ask you to do the same when you check out my other incredible new podcast, History Fluffer, that I do with my friends Jim Biederman, Jody Lennon, and Chris Grisbeck. We record it every week at the wonderful QED Astoria. It's a show in which I recount my Between You and Me 100% bullshit tales of my involvement at various points in history. A lot of people say it's the best podcast ever. Anyway, go check it out, and if you like it, let people know. Spread the word. I really need to hit on my hands, or I'm gonna get evicted. Or at least come down with crabs or something. That could be totally unrelated, if I'm honest. Thanks to everyone who supports us on Patreon. The numbers are growing slowly. Speaking of crabs, thank you for everyone going there. Go to patreon.com/Dave Hill if you would like to join the elite who have been helping us out, contributing a little bit for about the price of a cup of coffee. You could help us keep this going and keep gas in the tank, as I always say. But really, I'm just begging for your money, so I don't have to turn tricks again. Did I mention that already? I probably did. Anyway, but speaking of Patreon, I want to thank some people. I think I thanked Christina Olson already, but Christina, you're also due an erotic short story. I've cooked one up for you. Here goes, Christina. Christina Olsen went shopping at an outdoor market way past dark. "How much is the kielbasa?" she asked a hot, hot hunk standing next to a produce stand. "That's not sausage," he said. "Ooh, you're damn right that the fire department's coming, because that was red hot. You're probably like, well, that's a sound effect added in post. No, it's actually happening. Maybe you're in danger, Dave. Maybe your building's burning down. Maybe you should stop podcasting and save yourself. Save your dog. I got podcasting to do. Priorities are priorities. I also want to thank, of course, the wonderful Mike Sachs. Mike, thank you for your contribution to the Patreon. You get a gang member nickname for this. Your gang member, of course, the gang being the dangerous snakes who hate bullshit. Mike Sachs, your name is Mike Sachs, the Maryland micro-aggressor. I'm not saying you're small, I'm just saying that the aggressions are small, very tiny, but it's death by a thousand cuts when you're messing with Mike Sachs. I'm just saying, you know, when he's set loose upon enemies of dangerous snakes who hate bullshit. Hopefully you see my point. I think it's a pretty good nickname. Okay. What else? Gosh, the heat's coming on. That always sounds so cozy to me. Like, I'm gonna be wrapped in one of those thunder blankets, and all my fear and anger will just slowly drift away. What else did I want to tell you? Oh, I've been watching the hit program Barry on HBO, and I love it. I always like to recommend things that I like, so other people might find, something to relax with in their own spare time. Did I tell you to watch Letterkenny? You should. And Norseman. Those are the three shows I'm into right now, even though I'm all caught up on all three of them. And I need all three of those shows to start making more episodes right away, or I'm gonna lose it. What else is coming up, Dave? Oh, I'm glad you asked. May 11th, I'll be in Los Angeles being a judge on Shred for Your Life, along with Matt Sweeney, John Stenier from Helmet, and Battles. And who else is on it? A bunch of other folks. It's been incredible. It's a night of guitar shredding, good humor, good fun. It's at Zebulon, May 11th. You should totes come out. June 1st, my hot rock band Valley Lodge is going to be playing with Ellen and the Degenerates at Bushwick Public House. What else is going on, Dave? Oh, I'm glad you asked. See me in the movie Boy Band, now available on iTunes. And wherever, you know, you can stream movies and stuff. Steve Agee's in it. Jordan Carlos, Seth Herzog, Esther Koo, Dave Gruber Allen, on down the line. Anyway, Julie Goldman, a lot of fine folks in this movie. Questlove, Jerry O'Connell, so many folks. Anyway. And Carmine Street Guitar is opening next week. I'm in that movie too. Deal with it. I'm in some other movie, I think, coming out in April. I'll figure it out. But let's get into the main event. John Brodeur from Bird Streets. Excellent power pop band and an excellent fellow. If you listen to my show, The Goddamn Dave Hill Show on WFMU, which has been on hiatus, he was on that show, and he's so great that I was like, you totally got to come over to the house, be on my Dave Hill's podcasting incident. So he agreed. He brought his axe. It went a little something like that. Or no, not like that. It went like this. What's your problem, Dave? Take a daily multivitamin. Get your shit together. I don't know. Anyway, I hope you enjoy my delightful conversation with John Brodeur from Bird Streets.
Getting settled. Lucy's prowling with John Brodeur from Bird Streets.
A.K.A. Bird Streets.
Wait, so you are also known as Bird Streets, single-handedly?
It's confusing, the way we kind of went about. Well, because like I was playing with a band. I started a band called Bird Streets around the same time as I started making the album, which we decided was going to be called Bird Streets. I decided to sort of just mush them all together at one point. and make it sort of my, you know, Nine Inch Nails or World Party, or, you know, one of those things sort of my umbrella name for a lot of things.
But, I like that.
People can get confused by that a little bit, because I was going under my own name for like a decade or more. And
So now when you perform, okay. Yeah. I've been thinking about this. Now I'm more confused than I was before I posed the question.
See, it doesn't get easier.
But now I'm thinking about it in terms of my own empire. Mm-hmm. Like I should just have one, like call it Black Widow or something, and that'll encompass me and then whatever bands.
Yeah.
And then I could just be like Black Widow, mm-hmm. and you would know that I'm doing something.
Yeah, and then just like in parentheses, whatever, you know, sub-project. Subcontractor.
And then in my tireless research that I do for this, I get up at 4:30 every morning before the podcast and research. And Bird Streets is taken from a neighborhood in Los Angeles. Is that right?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's like this really...
Or as I should say, as Donald Trump would say, a lot of people don't know that.
A lot of people don't know that. Donald Trump probably knows that.
But he always says it, that when he just found something out.
Right, right.
A lot of people don't know it.
Yeah. Which means I did not know that.
Yeah, I'm sorry to invoke him even.
It's all right. He probably couldn't afford a place in the Bird Streets.
They're really?
Very, very expensive houses.
They were super expensive.
Yeah, they're for people with actual money.
Wow. But it seems like such a quaint name, though. Like, Bird Streets, you think, like, oh, I have a little bungalow
in the
Bird Streets area.
It's a lot of, like, infinity pools looking out over the skyline. Yeah.
How does the infinity pool work? Is there a wall? And if that wall broke, the water and all the sexy people in the pool would go tumbling down the mountain?
Just be like a bikini waterfall.
Elizabeth Hurley is always like in an infinity pool in a bikini on Instagram. And I honestly don't ever tire of it. I don't know
I brought that up.
Oh, you should.
Maybe I should tune in.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know why I'm... Oh, I think because I just, you know, was on Instagram. Anyway,
I digress. You're doing research for the project.
For
the
John
podcast. Berger,
a.k.a. Bird Streets. And your record, also called Bird Streets, is a great record.
Thank you.
And this is kind of maybe the first power pop episode, maybe. Would it be, Chris?
I think so, yeah.
Power pop centric.
Because we don't have to call it that.
No. But the reason I bring it up...
Sorry, power
if
pop
I can insert... Well, because, like, as you know, I'm a bit of a rocker myself.
Mm-hmm.
And on the year-end lists of the hot albums, Bird Streets and my band Valley Lodge were on, like, a lot of the same lists.
That's true. Yeah. The power pop fans are tuning in to the right bands.
They're
that's
just
good.
Into the right hot jams.
They know what's good.
Yeah. So I'd be like, if we were on a list... I'd be like, I bet Bird Streets is on this list. And then I would look, and there's Bird Streets. Or I'd see Bird Streets, and I would say, I bet Valley Lodge is on this list. And I'd scan all the way to the bottom. No Valley Lodge. No mention.
Then you just end up looking at lists all day, though.
I know. I'm past that point in my life.
Yeah.
Or am I?
I guess not.
It's hard to say.
I'm not saying I am either.
I like a nice list for... A temporary fix of validation before feelings of despair come flooding back.
It's sort of a false, you know, inflation, doesn't it? It's like when we got on a bunch of, we all got on these lists at the end of the year, and it was like, this is great, everything's going great, and then like the first of the year comes and they stop, and you're like, wait.
Now what? Wait.
Shit.
What is my purpose?
Yeah.
But Bird Streets is actually great. I mean, I'm going to make you play some songs. And then, if we can get your permission, if you say no to this question, then we'll edit out the point where I ask. But maybe if we could include a song or two from the album.
From the record, yeah, episode. Of course. That's not a problem.
So the album came out last year.
August, yeah.
Mastered at Abbey Road.
The LP, the vinyl, yeah, was done at Abbey Road.
That's pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet.
The fucking Beatles.
Yeah, it's just like the same lacquer, or, you know, whatever you call it, lathe that they use, you know, for... a lot of big records come out of that place. So
does it cost a lot of money? You don't have to tell me exactly how much.
No,
if you wanted to tell me exactly how much, that's fine.
I'll off the air, but the ones and zeros. The guy who mastered our record, John Astley of I don't know if you know him from the '80s. He had a song called "Jane's Getting Serious."
John Astley?
Yeah, not Rick Astley. He's not related to Rick Astley.
No relation.
He's related to Pete Townsend, though.
How so?
I think they're cousins, or maybe... I can't remember now. Whatever it is, he does a lot of the Who remasters. He does a lot of big John remaster Astley. Projects now.
There he is.
That's kind of what he does. And he had a connection at Abbey Road. He was like, I can get you in there for a decent rate. And I was like, well... It's my first time cutting vinyl for one of my records. Let's do it. And
that's pretty
sounds
sweet.
Great. Sounds amazing on vinyl.
Yeah. So you have a record player.
I do. Not a great one, but it plays records.
I feel. Whenever I tell people I don't have a turntable, you and I were just discussing it before Chris hit record. I don't have a turntable, and I think that's like a lot of people are really disappointed.
Because you're a music guy, right?
Well, I think it's the myth, the whatever myth people might have about what my day-to-day life is. I think part of it, people always assume I have a massive, like a whole room full of vinyl.
You're just sitting around in your smoking jacket listening to records all day, drinking scotch or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And most of that is true. But I don't listen to vinyl because... I got too many hot axes in this apartment.
I'd rather have guitars than vinyl, honestly. I think I'm starting to... The guitar, acreage in my place is kind of starting to encroach upon the vinyl.
The guitar-sinal.
The guitar-sinal.
Yeah, because guitars, you can play, though. I mean, you can play records, but it's more passive experience.
I mean, it's nice to have them both, because you can play along to the records.
That's always fun.
But we can also
I recommend that to the kids, just learning.
You can also
and at any age.
That's how I learned. When I was 11 years old, my parents got me for Christmas one of those. I think it was a Sinsonics was the brand. It was basically like Radio Shack guitar out of like the back of a JCPenney catalog or something with like the built-in speaker, $90 guitar, piece of crap. But I learned how to play on that thing, man.
That's so
along
cool.
From like listening to like Poison records.
I was going to say like I used to practice... to Dokken records because if you play in what's it called, the like minor scale all over the neck on any Dokken song, it fits,
it works.
And I learned that scale and I was like, oh, I can just practice along with these Dokken records.
That's great.
Though they weren't my favorite, I'm not just trying to distance myself from Dokken, but they weren't like my favorite band or anything, but I was like, oh, this scale works over every Dokken song.
Yeah, George had a trick, man. He had a thing.
Yeah,
he's a great, great player.
So I'd practice.
That's why you can play, and I can only do power chords like that because I learned from Poison.
Poison, though,
I'm not giving them enough credit, really.
Well, this is what I Poison, and I've gone down the internet rabbit hole for people sharing this opinion, but I would argue that their first record, Look What the Cat Dragged In, as you may recall, was pretty much, sounds like a Green Day record, but like with different frosting. It's basically the same.
Maybe a little slower in some spots.
And the lyrics were different. And the production was different. But in terms of like melody and everything else, it's basically interchangeable.
They're a pop band.
Yeah, it's just like
glam pop.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Was Talk Dirty to Me on that one?
That's the song I ever learned on guitar right there.
Because that song's basically just a punk song.
Yeah, that whole record is like a punk record with like Hairspray and guitar solos.
The first time I saw that record, it was in, I grew up in upstate New York and,
Where in upstate?
In a place called Glenville, which is like, little north, it's a little south of Saratoga, north Albany, in between there. The Sticks, really. And we went to Kmart, was the local department store, and I remember walking by the cassette rack and seeing this tape by this band Poison and wondering who the women were on the cover.
Yeah, they looked really
really went for it.
They weren't holding back.
Yeah.
They look more... There's that one Red Cross album where they look like women.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And, let me see, which one is it?
Which one
where is it's like, they nailed it. Which one is it called? I mean, I applaud it, personally.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, Poison, I went to see Rat play at the Richfield Coliseum. Well, because, and again, not making apologies, but I was always like, my buddy Tim Parnon, who plays in a bunch of bands, Sweet Apple, Cobra Verde, and so we would just go see everything.
Sure.
Like, if there were, like, guitars on stage, we were in. So we would see Replacements one night, we'd go see Rat the next night. We were just like, whatever, if rocking's happening, we want in.
Mm-hmm.
And, I saw the Starship as an example.
I saw Starship as well.
Oh, there's an electric guitar, I'm in.
Mm-hmm.
So
Craig Jakico.
Yeah. But Rat, I maintain that Rat is the Stones of hair metal.
All right.
Which is a bold claim.
It's...
But those first two records, I'm telling you, gems. And so anyway, we went to see Rat, having no idea. And this was like in a simpler time when you could go and just go to the ticket selling place.
Yeah.
The day a show went on sale, get your mom to drive you down there.
Stand in a little line.
Yeah, and you would get, I have fourth row
for
the Rat concert. And so we went to see Rat, and Poison was the opening band. And we were just like, this is the most ridiculous thing we've ever seen, in a way that we like couldn't really process, because we were like, this is the worst/best band we've ever seen.
they were like the Motley Crue that your mom liked, kind of, in a way. Like, they were just, they took all of that, whatever they had, and just kind of, I don't know, I don't want to say they took the edge off.
Well, there was no satanic element.
Yeah, it was just bubblegum pop, basically, about girls and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, but it was like super, and they were like completely ridiculous, and CC DeVille was like ostensibly a shredder, but not very good at guitar.
I'd like to hear him play sober sometime. I don't know if that's ever happened.
Arguably, I did.
Yeah.
Supposedly, he's sober now, and
oh.
I will say that I did see Poison. I saw Def Leppard, Poison, and Lita Ford in 2012.
That's a good bill.
A friend, they were playing at the Prudential Center in Newark. And so I went fifth row center, not to brag. But, and he came out, and he was, I believe, sober.
He's got to be at this point. I mean,
but you never know.
Life's
not easy.
They have never stopped touring.
No, they keep going.
As far as I can tell, they have never stopped.
Plus, I can't even remember where I was. I was in, like, Florida once. I mean, I've been to Florida several times, not to brag. But I was at this hotel. And CC, the Poison was staying there, I guess, because CC DeVille was walking around.
Yeah.
And he looked very fit and healthy.
Good.
And I thought, good for you, CC DeVille. Yeah. Keeping your shit together. I respect it.
Yeah.
But he was better. When he played, when I saw him in 2012, I was like, oh, he's gotten better at guitar.
Yeah, you could always kind of tell. I mean, he's obviously got chops.
Yeah.
Like, I remember seeing them around probably the same time, maybe a couple tours later in like the early, maybe the 90, 91.
Mm-hmm.
Who else was on that? Poison, Cinderella, I think was the other band on there. Maybe Extreme opening up. It was very 1990.
Whoa.
Hard rock.
Yeah, that would have been right before the fall.
Yeah, totally. And it was like Unskinny Bop and then Smells Like Teen Spirit like the next year.
Yeah.
And yeah, he had like a 10-minute just guitar solo. Remember when bands used to just let the guitar player just go, and they'd go off stage and like, you know, do a couple bumps or whatever.
Yeah.
And it was atrocious.
Yeah, he was just like, his playing was always like, sort of like reminds like, it was like Icarus flying too close to the sun, and then, like he kind of went beyond his his area of his comfort zone, and you're like, oh, he's gone too far.
Yeah.
And he's not in control of what's happening anymore.
One time it was like he's doing like pick sweeps and stuff. You're like, nah, maybe not.
Yeah, it's falling apart. He's crashing. But, gosh, I had a thought. This was headed somewhere. But,
I saw Poison and Def Leppard about 10 years ago, but it was Cheap Trick opening.
Cheap Trick, I love... You must...
I love Cheap Trick. They're one of the best bands, like, ever. Just,
but still, gosh, still they great. Don't say no to a tour, do they?
They've been doing that first band on the three-band summer bill for as long as I can think. Since the late 90s, probably.
I feel like...
Doing that,
I guess
circuit.
You gotta, you know...
At least.
You know, you gotta go out there and play and make money, but I'm always like, you guys are better than all the other bands.
Yeah.
On the bill.
Yeah. I never quite got that.
But maybe they I guess they don't have that kind of ego. They don't let their ego get in the way, and they'd be like, we're a Cheap Trick. You can put us on wherever.
Yeah.
And we'll still be awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember, like, I actually met Bunny Carlos. You know, what's that band? Tinted Windows?
Right, with Taylor Hanson and Adam.
Yeah. And they made a pretty good record.
Yeah, it was solid. I saw them play.
And I interviewed them at some festival in New Jersey for, I can't even remember what, I was hired to do something. And I was interviewing all these bands, all these horrible bands, and I can't remember one of them. And then they came in, and I was like, "What? You guys are better than every other band. Like, what are you guys even doing here?" And they didn't like the question. I meant it in a complimentary way, but right. I guess I didn't articulate it very well. And they were like, next question. I don't know what my point is. I'm all over that. This is a problem. I'm on my second cup of coffee, which is, this is a high energy podcast, as you can imagine. And then I go down the wormhole of Poison. And Rat, but how do you have you sound like maybe you're like me in that you don't, some people won't admit to having gone to see Poison and Cinderella.
No, whatever.
Listen, I know.
I just told you I grew up in the sticks, basically. Yeah. We only got, you know, we got 15% of the shows you might have got in Cleveland or you know, certainly New York. So, you know, you got to pick your battles.
Well, yeah, that was the thing, like, because in Cleveland, and maybe that's just my perception of it, but I remember, like, any, you know, people would just go to, like, if there was, like Danzig would come to town, and everybody who was into anything, not just super, I mean, Danzig was ultimately pretty mainstream hard rock metal band or whatever, but anyone that was just into anything, punk or whatever, or metal, everyone just went like, oh, this is happening, we should, everyone go. Like, it wasn't like down like super lines, like only these people are going to this show. And like, you would go and like every person who was like not gonna go to the Starship concert, even though I was at the Starship concert, would be there.
We might be the only two people that would overlap those worlds, although I've never seen Danzig play, but I have seen Starship.
Well, the thing, because with music, I think is like food. Like, you go like, I'm gonna have a healthy salad.
Mm-hmm.
That would be, I don't know, like a Beatles record or something. A delicious and healthy salad, mm-hmm. with buffalo chicken in it. Mm-hmm. A little fun. Maybe
tofu.
Not. Or tofu, buffalo tofu.
Maybe.
Yeah, no, like whatever your getting loose item is for a salad.
Something buffalo, though. It's got to be.
Buffalo. Something where you're just like, you know what? I'm cutting loose.
Yeah, definitely a vinegary.
But like sauce. A healthy but fun. But then you can have like a bag of Doritos. And it's like, well, yeah, I'm just having a few Doritos. That's not like I only eat Doritos. I just had the salad.
That's Poison.
Yeah.
Poison's Doritos.
Yeah, but every once in a while, every 6 months or so, mm-hmm. get your hands on a bag of Doritos, and you're like, wow, Doritos are still pretty good.
It ain't so bad.
Yeah, but I think a lot of people don't think that way in terms of music.
No, you know, I don't know. I mean, I grew up on that stuff, so, you know, I think we're around roughly the same age bracket. So, like, you know, grew up in the 80s. And
you're 26.
Exactly. And that was the stuff that got to me, was like the stuff that was on the radio. That was what you heard when you were a kid. Like, I wasn't really like digging through crates when I was 10 years old. So it was like Poison and Starship are pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then, you know, found some other stuff later, you know, Elvis Costello and They Might Be Giants and different things like that, that, you know, were very different from these other things that you know, broadened my whatever. But
yeah,
definitely that was the stuff that was interesting when I was a kid. Duran Duran. I never went to see them, but I saw
Duran Duran.
Totally. I have more recently, but...
I saw them in a difficult period of their career, I would argue. Though I enjoyed the show immensely.
Was it Notorious?
No, gosh, I wish. I don't think it was. Wait, okay. The lineup, it was Simon Le Bon, of course. Mm. Nick Rhodes. Mm-hmm. And then I think that was it. I don't think... Maybe John Taylor was back. I'm not sure. But the guitar player... was Warren
Cucurello. Yeah.
Who was... So you have, like, Simon Le Bon and Nick Rhodes. Handsome, stylish guys. And maintaining full Duran Duran-ness mm-hmm. to this day, by my estimation.
Mm-hmm.
And then Warren Cucurello, who was in... What's McCallit band?
Some Persons, right?
Missing Persons, and who like had a certain aesthetic, but then somewhere along the line he pulled like a Joe Piscopo thing where he started working out and he's like super buff,
right?
And he's wearing like a backwards baseball, he's dressed like a full bro,
yeah,
on stage with Duran Duran. He's wearing sunglasses, backwards baseball hat, and a sleeveless hooded sweatshirt, in like jeans that are like super tight on his like leg workout legs,
right?
And then he has like Timberland boots on, and he's like, you're in fucking Duran Duran, what are you doing?
It sounds like it would be a later 80s, it'd be like the Big Thing album, I think, was the
this would no time, this was right? Like in the 2000s.
Oh, more recently he's dressed, yeah, like that. Okay, I take it all back. I know when he joined the band, but then he was gone for a while and then back for a while.
No, it was in the 2000s.
Oh man.
And like it was at the Beacon Theater.
Tragic.
And I was just sitting there like, when are they gonna have the talk with this guy? This guy's gotta go.
Wow.
I mean, he's gone now.
That's rough.
But it was just like,
that's rough. Yeah, because he came back and then he was like fired again pretty quickly or something like that.
I think for that reason, probably.
Yes.
Well, like, but I'm thinking like, you're Simon Le Bon and you're getting ready to be like, I'm Simon Le Bon, I'm like, well, however old, but I'm, you know, everyone still wants to make out with me, mm-hmm, and stuff. And I'm we're going to go out, we're going to play Reflex, we're going to play Rio, and then... like, okay, we're on in five, and then you have this guy in fucking backwards baseball hat.
That's unfortunate.
Fire that guy.
That is unfortunate.
I don't know. I'm sorry we've gone down this whole wormhole. I'm the worst podcast host.
It's okay.
I mean, read the comments in the iTunes. Chris, it says I'm the worst.
A few did, but that was years ago.
That was years ago. No one would now. Now that I'm number... Can we get you... Would you be up for playing some... You brought your guitar.
Yeah, I'll play a little bit.
Because otherwise, I'll just keep going on these tangents.
I didn't bring a pick, though. You got a pick over there somewhere?
Oh. It's funny you ask.
I can go without it.
There's like 70,000 picks right there.
Oh.
There's even picks from like...
Oh, yeah. I was looking at them just now.
Yeah.
Thinking, oh, hey, there's guitar picks right in front of me. So, a song off the record, huh?
You can play whatever you want.
That's really all I know right now.
Yeah, yeah.
It's the only stuff I've practiced.
Can I say, maybe I've told this to you before, but you appeared on my radio show on WFMU,
mm-hmm,
and a lot of people were like, "You're this guy's the best guest."
That's really nice of people.
Musically.
Yeah,
personally, not so much. No, just kidding. Musically, everyone was like, hot sound. Yeah, people, big reaction.
People are nice like that sometimes. Yeah. I know. I remember getting... there was a few people that, like, reached out to me on social media after that.
Oh, that's nice.
Like, I heard you on the
show. Because if they don't like it, oh, you don't want that.
No.
They'll come after you.
And I don't like people that just go out of their way to say mean... like, that just use the internet to say mean things.
Yeah.
Some people, that's kind of the whole... it's their whole thing, man. Not cool.
It is. I was thinking that the internet generally makes me feel not good.
Yeah, a lot of it sucks.
Well, or maybe social media.
Social media, yeah. All right, let's see. So, again, we called this a power pop situation, but we haven't really talked much about it. But this is a song I almost didn't put on the album because I was like, that sounds like a power pop song. So, let's bring it all back full circle.
Well, before... yeah, well, we should let you play, and then I want it. We should talk about that quickly. But, yeah, let's
hear the subject, and then we can tear it apart.
Thanks for calling. I would have been better off never knowing that you had to tell me everything. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. Pretty girls pass by all the time, but none catch my eye. Since I saw you, I've been blind to others. Time the phone rings, I get a chill. It could be you, but when it is, it's always bad news. So the next time you hook up with an old friend, keep it a secret. Keep me in the dark. So you're kind of a thing now. Thanks for calling. I would have been better off never knowing that you had to tell me everything. Thanks for calling. Thanks for calling. Sometimes at night I sit alone and think of you, but you're with him. I wonder why I bother. But every time the phone rings, my eyes light up, and I get so very happy that you might think to call. When will you call?
Stuff.
That's great.
I love that.
Well, power pop.
It is, yeah.
Beatles kind of thing.
There are, I was going to say, some Beatles-esque chords.
There's probably, if you broke this song down, every single piece of it is stolen from the Beatles, but just like, not just small enough chunks.
Yeah.
But that, you could say that about almost all music at this point.
I just last night did... Uptown Showdown at Symphony Space, where you debate. It's
Random.
A debate show, and yeah. It was Beatles versus Stones, and I was, it was, it,
I could get violent.
It was, well, everyone's was sort of like, this is, how do you, I was just assigned to the Beatles team, even though.
Do you agree with that?
Do you feel like you're more of a Stones guy? I don't know why we have to pick.
Both. I mean,
yeah, me too.
Well, John Fugelsang had a, he was like, you just, the answer is Beatles on record, Stones live. And he's like, no one can argue with that.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah, that's a good way to get out of that one. We did win though. He was also on Team Beatles and we won. But I forget what my point.
I always go with the Kinks when that's the question.
I said, that's what I said last night, is the Kinks. Yeah. And then we had an impromptu, Peter Gross and I had a, because he started arguing for Jethro Tull, which is very funny.
Strange thing to insert.
He just
into that
derailed the whole thing to Jethro Tull. And then we had a mini Kinks versus Jethro Tull debate mid. And I won that, for let the record show. But I always go Kinks, even though, like, I mean, they don't have the majesty of the Stones or the Beatles, but they were so. I mean, their whole thing is so awesome.
Yeah.
Which is not the strongest argument. Just say that
it's
it was
just
so
a whole
awesome.
Separate thing. It's like it was like it's like Blur and Oasis in the '90s.
Yeah.
Like, what about Pulp? That was always my argument there, but it's the same kind of argument. Like they're just a completely different thing, but they should be in the conversation. You know?
Well, it's like the Kinks. I just think they were so. A friend of mine, my friend Harry Deansway, who's a major prick. He, in case he's listening, he lives in London. He always gets mad at me because he's like, you think it's like one big Kinks record here? I'm like, well, for me, it is, because I just come for like short blasts. I do shows, have fun, and hang out with friends, and then I walk around all day listening to Kinks records, and they're singing about the street that I'm on,
right?
And I love it, and so I'm like, there you go.
Yeah.
But it is so British.
It's essentially, like, yeah. Maybe the most British of all
popular
music groups.
I think that's why they didn't get there. Plus, weren't they like not allowed to enter America for a time?
When their biggest records were their biggest records here were happening, I think that was happening. There was something with.
They got arrested for drugs, I think.
It was drugs.
Outlaws.
Figured it was drugs or taxes.
And then Ray Davies lived in New Orleans. This is why we're not in the top of the charts, because I just jump all over. But Ray Davies lived in New Orleans. That was my whole story. I've been reading a book about it. But he did make it, all by way of saying he made it back and he stayed for a while. And then he got shot. Do you know who he got shot in New Orleans?
That happened.
Yeah, a buddy of mine. His friends became friends with him in New Orleans, and he said, yeah, I got home and there was a message from Ray Davies saying he'd been shot. I was like, that's a really surreal voice message to get.
New Orleans. Okay.
Been shot. We should,
I recently discovered, apparently it's Davis, by
the
way.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's Ray Davis. That's how that's pronounced.
Oh my gosh.
And we've all been for 55
this whole time.
Years, or our entire lives.
Oh man.
Yeah.
See?
Somebody who worked with him pointed that it was on a radio show I heard, but it was somebody who had like produced a record with him. He's like, actually,
it's Davis.
Yeah, I never heard him himself like go on record being like, you all are idiots, but you know,
that was
maybe
nice
he likes
of him
it.
Not to bring it up.
There's an E in it.
There was, I had some friends living in Muswell Hill where they're from, you know, and they started at this pub called, I think, the Clissold Arms. Mm-hmm. And I was at my friend's house, and I was like, stupidly, I was like, I bet I'm the only one that happens to know that the Kinks started at this pub in this neighborhood. We should go there. And I was like, probably the bartender doesn't even know.
Right.
And then they're like, oh, okay, yeah, Dave, we'll go there. And we go there, and of course, it's a shrine to the Kinks, which made it all the better. But but I was like, no one's going to know. We should, I think we got it. This is flying by.
Yeah.
Should we close with a song? Would you be up for playing one more?
Yeah, I could do one more, yeah. Let's see.
And then in the rollout, I don't know if it's a rollout in the end, whatever I say at the end.
The outro.
What's that called? The outro. Then I'll remind people to buy the Bird Streets album.
Cool.
Which I'll do in the beginning, too.
Yeah, here's one. I'll do this one. This is a little shorter song, anyway. Spooky song. We're making a video for right now.
Oh, nice.
Do you know Rachel Lichtman? You know her?
I do.
Yeah, she's making the video for this.
Oh, nice.
She is a joy. City, smoking hash and laying low, looking for some inspiration in a bus station window, and the feeling that you're slipping is enveloping your soul. You've been walking around for hours, but the words don't seem to form. After all the times you've reached your last resort, you're still coming up short. Hollywood's a graveyard, all the stories have been told, but you're sifting through remains, looking for some pretty bones. And the skeletons are laughing, they must know something you don't. In the shadows, there's an answer that you simply can't ignore. After all the times you've reached your last resort, you're still coming up
John.
Thank you for having me.
A.K.A. Bird Streets.
You can call me...
getting it.
You can call me Bird.
Sweet.
Yeah, just... that's fine.
Excellent. Thank you.
And there you have it. My delightful conversation with John Brodeur from Bird Streets. Get the Bird Streets album... it's all over the place. You get it on Bandcamp, iTunes, wherever you find incredible music. So there. I hope you enjoyed it. I know I did. I know Lucy enjoyed it. She's the music teacher. So let's ride this one off into the sunset. I want to thank my partner in crime, Mr. Chris Gersbeck, the brains behind the operation. I want to beg you for reals to rate, review, and subscribe to this podcast on iTunes. Please go listen to Dave Hill History Fluffer. It's totally different from this podcast, and it's going to blow your mind right out your butthole. And support both podcasts and my general plot for world domination at patreon.com/Dave Hill. I'd be so grateful. And I love you so much. And playing with Lucy's paws right now as I talk. They're adorable. Sounded creepy, didn't mean it to be. Anyway, until next time, I've been Dave Hill. You've been incredible. Since you've been gone, I can't keep time from standing still. I drew the blinds and rewatched Brazil. Maybe I'm gone. I'm gone.
nothing but close my eyes. Oh no, no, since you've been gone, since you've been gone, not sure how much more I can stand. I mean, come on, I live in a van. Maybe I'm gone. I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Maybe I'm gone. I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Maybe I'm gone. I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Maybe I'm gone. I'm gone, I'm gone, I'm gone. Maybe I'm gone.
You've been listening to a FUBAR Radio podcast. For more information, go to FUBARradio.com.